9:30 Friday night hangout. Grabbing a brew, shooting the breeze with the panel tonight. We got from Dartmouth, Dan with us tonight. How's she going, Dan?
Awesome. Every day's a gift.
Swinging over to the Valley, we got Lee, Hoogly Beer and Booze Reviews, and host of the Kill Them On Site.
They podcast. Must be destroyed on site.
They must be destroyed on site podcast. Sorry, it was a lot of letters.
Kill Them On Site's a lot more catchy. I should have thought of that one instead.
All right, but you can also find out his podcast. If you sign up to the Avoiding Chores newsletter, we pushed out Lee's podcast URL. So if you're not subscribed, check that out or check out the past issue so you can get his link.
Thank you.
That.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Actually, it was the second largest click-through. People clicking through, so that was number two.
Nice.
So if you had three new subscribers, you're welcome.
All right.
Okay, and of course, here I am in Dartmouth 2. Folks, if you're watching live, of course, you can comment live via the YouTube chat.
Wait, you're Dartmouth?
Did I say Dartmouth?
You did. It's like, waka, 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 wah?
Well, it depends on the side. I don't know. Listen, you know what? Maybe because I'm drinking, maybe the beer I'm drinking is a black ale. We'll get into that a little bit later, but for those of you guys who are using the Twitter, you can use the FN Hangout hashtag, and we'll be monitoring that. Lots of fun with that. But hopefully we can get another panelist in here. I know Keith is having a hell of a time getting in here, so we'll hopefully he'll get in here a little bit later or at least comment. So let's start, boys, with the usual, which is what we are drinking tonight. So I'm going to start. I'm drinking the Tanamagoosh Dreadnought India Black Ale, 7%. And for some reason, this reminded me of Dartmouth because it was black and Dreadnought. I don't know.
Black and overexpensive?
I believe this was $4.50 in the can here at Bishop's Cellar. They've been showing some preference on some of the privates. Rockhead or Luckett's, you don't see the same array of cans as you do at Bishop's Cellar. You're definitely getting, every time I go in, I see a different range of cans. So their canning business are slowly expanding. So yeah, look at the draw. I can't say, come on down and get that Butcher's Block Red. You might get the Dreadnought or the other West Coast IPA or their Maple Squash.
You know, so. Or their Lagered Ale.
Lagered Ale. But otherwise, you know what? It's a nice black IPA. The 7% hasn't really kicked in yet. It's a bit on the... it's a nice balance between the hops and the malt. And maybe a little bit more of the hop bite at the end. But it's not... Probably one of the better black IPAs I've had locally, that's for sure. All right, Lee, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking the new porter from Boxing Rock, the Sunken Ledge.
Oh, ooh. How is that?
It isn't all that good, sadly, sad to say. No, it's very light on the body, a little too watery, and it doesn't have enough flavor to overcome that, so it's a little disappointing.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, you know what? There's one beer that... hang on. We'll get to Dan. I'll tell you my bad beer story this week. Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
One of the ones I really enjoy having all their various blends, and it's from the Witch Wood Brewery, and I'm doing the Hobgoblin Gold.
Okay.
I've never seen that one before. I've seen just a regular Hobgoblin, and this one's a little bit lighter fare on it. It's only 4.5%, and it's the combination of four hop varieties and an infusion of wheat and malted barley results in a perfectly balanced golden beer with a huge hop punch.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, yeah, that came with the NSLC's winter specials or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I picked this up from the liquor barn, so I've liked everything that Witchwood's come out with, so I thought I'd give it a shot, and so far, not bad. I don't think it's one of my favorites of theirs, but overall, not bad.
All right, excellent. All right, so as promised, I'm going to tell you about my bad beer experience. It actually happened today. I was out for lunch, and I like to have a little beverage as I enjoy my lunch. I opted for Bad Apple's Box Cutter IPA. And I took a sip. Bartender said, "I'll give you a sample." I said, "No, I know. I've had it before." Like, no, you should maybe have a sample first. All right, give me a sample, please. So he gave me the sample, and I took a sip, and all I could taste is blue cheese.
Ew. Oh,
blue, what the? Yeah. So fudge. Yeah, very disappointed. I don't know. And, you know, the funny part is that they put it on last night, and I was at the Stubborn Goat, by the way, and I guess they had the Trailer Park Boys had a party, and the brewmaster was there, Jeff was there, and they made him taste it and said, yeah, that tastes a little bit off. So he should have just took that keg back with him back to Somerset. But so I'm hoping the Goat is not selling that beer, because it was just awful.
Maybe they're trying to cut out the middleman. Like, if you have wings and beers, so now you don't have to add the blue cheese for your wings, so have it with your beer.
Well, maybe it's something you want to put on a Friday night, just switch the taps and put on this, the blue cheese
flavor. I cannot think of a single ad campaign that actually would work with that.
I did try the blue cheese and was it buffalo wings chips. That wasn't bad. That was actually pretty good. Superstore. That wasn't bad.
I like the sriracha. But mind you, I like everything sriracha. So.
Hey, speaking of wings here, just looking at the live chat, the Smoking Ape down in, I believe, Jersey.
Jersey.
Getting ready for the storm here, a fellow YouTuber here. There's a pretty good channel here on outdoor and preparedness and gear and all that stuff. So anyway, he says he should have gotten some hot wings to go with that blue cheese. Yes. Should have. I opted for the loaded fries, which was a poutine, right? But it was just fries, a little bit of gravy, some type of cheese. I forget the cheese. It wasn't blue cheese. But it was cheese, jalapenos, fresh jalapeno slices, green onions, and onion braised pork.
Ooh.
Wasn't bad. Mm. Anyway, Smoking Ape says he's a little bit more south, and I keep forgetting where he's at. He said it last time, and I apologize that I couldn't find it here.
So speaking of the storm, where exactly is the swath of it hitting on the East Coast? Like, Where's the upper and lower limits of the East Coast that it's supposed to be consuming?
Well, a site that I like here, and actually Smoking Ape did a good video there on weather, where to go and all that stuff. But I like this particular I'm just going to bring it up here. And let's do the share. I like the site called forecast.io. It's a really good site for weather. So you can see here that the fun by tomorrow, a lot of the, right now. So right now we're looking at this. Mm-hmm. So Virginia, Baltimore, they're getting pounded. Overnight, New York, Boston, all that stuff, they'll get their stuff. For us, this is when by tomorrow morning, CNN, tomorrow lunchtime, CNN will be done with their coverage. But as you know, hey, here we are here in Halifax, up here. Oh, look, it's coming right for us. But looks like we're just going to miss it, or we might just get a few centimeters.
Looks like it's going to taper off into rain by the time it really hits us, from the looks of things there.
Yeah, one of the things I heard is that it's really going to just push all the warm air towards us. So we're actually getting like 5s and 7 degrees centigrade.
Yeah, so suck it, U.S.
Politely.
Yeah, politely.
No, but they're New Yorkers. They're not polite.
Oh, well, some of them are polite.
No, none of them are. They're all bastards.
Come on, a few of them are polite. Oh, well, anyway. Hey, Keith is in. Keith, buddy.
Sup?
Are you in?
I'm in. You hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, buddy. What are you drinking? Because you did a little bit of work to get on in the panel tonight.
I worked up a thirst. It's Dreadnought barrel-aged.
Ooh.
Dreadnought.
Right on.
Going for the high alcohol.
Barrel age. What was the ABV on that one?
Why not?
11.5. Roger over in the valley says, good evening, guys. I'm drinking the Sunken Ledger Porter from Boxing Rock. What?
Well, tell me what you think of that one, because yeah. I think it's kind of sucks.
That's funny, because that was going to be my next one, but I think I might switch to something else instead.
It's not terrible. There's no horrible taste to it. It's just watery as hell. That's all. It's just kind of light.
Well, Roger was getting me all jealous last week with his Sea Level New Moon Farmhouse Ale. So the next one is going to be the farmhouse ale. So that's coming nice. Soon here. But let's see. Smoking Ape says here he's more Dorothy Virginia. What's MD?
Maryland.
Maryland. Yep.
Oh Lord, I am bad with my state abbreviations. So he's down towards there. He says he's about 5-6 inches of snow so far.
Yeah.
Well, that's basically what we've been getting the last few times, right? For the last three storms?
Yeah, six, pretty close.
7 inches. So hopefully you get the nice fluffy stuff.
7 inches. Let's be honest. It's more like 4.
Yeah, that's more average.
Let's not conflate things.
Hey, maybe we should start with some of the topics.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, why not? We're having a good old time. We've got a few people in here. All right, so the first story here is from PEI, Prince Edward Island. We don't talk about the province a lot, but this guy sure made sure that we found out. So this is around Summerside, PEI, and this is kind of on the way. I do remember seeing this sign when I go on the way to see the in-laws, or I should say the outlaws. But basically, this garage auto shop puts cheeky messages, and I don't know what's going on, but for the last couple of weeks, he's been on a tear of being very specific as to which group he was targeting.
The one thing the first one that they put up, that the women are like snowflakes, they can't drive, that doesn't even make sense. They could say women are like quadratic equations, they can't drive.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
You didn't put much thought into it, obviously.
So
that means his jokes.
So that got shared on social media, and all hell broke loose.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do that these days, because you'll get every SJW on Tumblr and Twitter and stuff going after you, and they'll do nice little attack campaigns to get your business taken away from you if you go a little too far. In their eyes, you know.
You can't do that running a business.
No, you really can't. I mean, you're definitely taking the fate of your business in your own hands doing bullshit like that. I mean, you know, a joke's a joke and all that stuff, and I mean, I'm sure there probably was no real malice behind it, but it's just dumb. And, you know, the thing is, where I lay on it, though, is if you want to do it, fine. You want to do it, but if you end up losing business because of it, it's your own fault, and people should vote with their dollars. They shouldn't try to shut someone down or whatever, but, I mean, take your business elsewhere if you find what he put on there offensive.
Yep, totally agree. Keith, are you going to put some messages on your stolen business?
Yeah, I was thinking where, you know, this guy sells cars to people and half of his clients are potentially women and he makes women jokes. I don't know, maybe I should go, I don't know, put up a time making a dead game where I make monuments. It'd make a lot of sense. You know, it's about the same. Hey. It's about the same level of taste, sophistication, and forethought.
But hey, he's just joking around. Hey, come on, people. Let's not get too serious here.
Yeah, but when you have a business,
people don't. He didn't say women. He didn't say broads.
Yeah, he did say broads. There you go.
Yeah, it could have been worse. Hey, chicks are like snowflakes. Hey.
Hey. You know what? He added a third one. He says, hey, attention drama queens.
How come I picture him grabbing his crotch while he's making these jokes? You know,
So I haven't seen
any. He doubled down, didn't he?
Oh, he did. He went for like a full week of signs.
He trumped it.
Yeah, that's the worst possible thing to do because he's not Donald Trump. He doesn't have the money to afford to double down.
Again, I don't know what he's doing. Just basically needs to fall on a sword, realize he did a terrible thing, and then just move on.
As a few businesses have done in the last year or so who tried to do that edgy persona, and they kind of...
Oh, weren't we just talking about one a couple minutes ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, hey, let's move on to the next one here, because it's time. I think we should do a Pixar moment, where at some point during the hangout, we all cry. Have a nice cry if you haven't had a cry this week. What do you guys think?
As long as it's not cars.
Puppies. Everybody loves puppies. Not when they die, though.
No.
The RCMP puppy. Now, if I've been following the news, right before Christmas, we had a name contest to name the newest RCMP canine dogs, Hilo. And unfortunately, Hilo passed away.
Oh, yeah. Too bad.
Ate some rocks and rope. Unfortunately, got stuck in his tummy. Having paid a substantial vet bill myself a number of years ago for my dog, I can feel that these dogs eat anything, right? So it's too bad. This was the dog was being kept around Bible Hill and Trill by a, forget the term, but it's a police officer who wants to be part of a handler. So it wasn't a full-blown handler, it was just somebody interested in being a handler. Anyway, they came from the dog service in Alberta. So he has another litter mate here. So, but what do you guys think about this whole investment in canines? Like, I know if you look at on Facebook, the Nova Scotia RCMP, you know, if they need to bring up morale over all the missing person and all the negative stories, they put up a nice feel-good canine picture, and everybody just loses their minds and stuff. So
yeah, it's good manipulative PR for any police department, that's for sure. But I mean, police dogs do serve a useful purpose, but at the same time, there's also that sort of element of putting an animal in the face of danger instead of a police officer as well, which, you know, some people might find morally repugnant, but. Yeah, I think police dogs ultimately are quite useful, and it's sad that the little puppy died and everything. I mean, that's kind of, it's not nice. But.
Keith, any canine in your neck of the woods in terms of seeing these dogs in action? I got a nice little story where basically... I was basically driving, and I was driving around Willow Park here, and one of the canine handlers was playing around with his dog there, and just doing the whole, just throwing the chew across the lawn and stuff like that, letting the dog run and getting exercise and stuff. So, Dan, do you have it? Did you run into your canine, any canine units in your neck of the woods over the last few months?
Not Canadian Forces, but the USAF, the U.S. Air Force, I saw their canine units in action. So it's a loyal connection between both the handler and the dog. So, yeah, it's sad to see something like that. I mean, it's sad for any sort of situation like that, regardless of what the animal or person is.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I did bring my dog to the vet tonight, and I only had to pay $150 on shots. Mm. And, of course, the vet said the dog is overweight, which is just chunky. It's just chunky.
It's a Canadian dog.
It's a lab, black lab. He goes in the woods. He eats stuff.
Labs like to eat, that's for sure.
It's winter weight.
Yeah, it's winter weight. He's working it up. He's building up. All right, next story, boys. If you are on Twitter at any point today, you would have seen the words IKEA or Swedish meatballs.
I didn't see either.
You obviously don't follow Lee, anybody from Halifax.
No, I don't.
Well, you follow us, so anyway, that doesn't matter. I didn't tweet about it. I didn't tweet about it because IKEA is coming to Halifax. They're building a full-size store.
What the hell you say?
2.5 times bigger than a Costco, yo.
What?
Everybody was losing their goddamn mind.
That's a lot
especially people in Moncton. Oh. Did you ever heard about that? They are furious.
Moncton got some instructions. Get it? Instructions for IKEA. Build it here.
Oh. Yeah, they're a little miffed that Halifax is getting one. Oh my god. And they're not.
I don't know how many. And if you take a look at my Twitter timeline, I think I was losing it. I had some animated GIFs that tried to convey my emotions at that point. But basically, everybody was just losing their minds. Keith, did you not agree that people are losing their minds?
Yeah, I mean, it's a business coming to Halifax. It's jobs. It's positive, but I just don't want to see where people are losing their minds. You know, good for IKEA, but...
Oh, fantastic. You know, fever pitch.
It's lost on me.
Well, it's popular for certain demographics as well. So if you look at your students or your millennials, I mean, this is like, you know, like liquid gold for them, and understandably so, because it meets their design sensitivities and their wallets. So why not?
Now, of course, right before the hangout, me and Dan were trying to count how many IKEA items we had in our room.
Yeah, right, just right here.
On camera.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got 6 things in this room right now that I know for a fact are IKEA.
Yeah. And I was saying to Dan that the stuff that survived when we were living in Montreal and Ottawa is... One, the table that's holding up everything that you see here. That's one. I got a closet kind of attachment, the packs. Two, and the table, you might just see it right there, that table, coffee table.
Now, the only IKEA that I frequented on a regular basis was the one in Ottawa. And the thing with the restaurant there is, yeah, everyone says, oh, the IKEA restaurant. But you would be amazed by the lineups outside of an IKEA before the IKEA opens for people to scramble to get the scrambled egg special for $3.
Let's not kid ourselves. The kitchen with their cheap meals, with their cheap frozen Walmart meatballs and liquid eggs... It's nothing special, but it's cute. You're going, you're shopping, you're having cheap lunch.
It's dirt cheap.
It is dirt cheap.
Don't some of them sell beer as well? I think in the States.
I guess the new one in Ottawa, the second one in Ottawa, Dan, I guess there's beer in there too. So.
Really?
Yeah.
That one.
I mean, I'll definitely check it out.
Oh, well, I can tell you one thing. Glassware. There was a specific model of glass I had that was just fantastic. Rock solid, good size, was fantastic. And then, of course, you know, as it keep getting dropped by somebody in this house who's not on the hangout, I need more of these glasses. So that's one thing. I'm going to get a new set of glassware. I'm going to get...
I remember IKEA being one of the first places that really pushed fluorescent lighting. We get the fluorescent light bulbs and that, because before then they'd be in like the really special section in a crappy tire or like a home building place. But IKEA is really pushing it. Quite a bit of forward thinking on their behalf.
Well, I'm gonna say for anybody who's living solo, like in an apartment or whatever, who wants just to upgrade their stuff and not pay a lot of money, really. IKEA is a good gig. So
with a big asterisk beside it, if you move around a lot, IKEA is probably not for you. You'd be lucky if it survived one move. Two moves? Yeah, you're pushing it.
Unless it's like basket organizers, metal thing that you can actually screw into the wall, not the prefabricated thing. Anyway, look, here I am bitching about people losing their minds. I'm just saying IKEA is good. Andy was saying here, Halifax on the chat here, Halifax is the target IKEA market. Lots of middle-income families looking for affordable pricing, not just furniture, more on housewares. I agree with you there. Live solo in an apartment. I mean, there's a lot of people who would like, for a couple $100, they can get themselves all a nice, really, really nicely designed living room, basically. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's all I got. But people are just losing their freaking minds. Now, I know Dartmouth used to have an IKEA, first IKEA in Canada in 1970, in the 70s. They came, and then they left in 88. Come on, a lot of these people on Twitter weren't even born.
Yeah. Speaking of Twitter, just to throw it in there, there's Fribba Halley.
Yes.
He says, happy to see the effing hangout back on the air. Looking forward to some beery discussion.
Yes, and I believe we're going to add him to the hangout at one point here. I know we took a little break here, but... I think we'll be adding him to the hangout or add a guest. We're going to do a monthly new guest, try to invite people, some new people into the hangout. So,
did I hear correctly that Sarah Palin is lining up to be your first guest?
No, it's Fribba Halley.
Oh, okay.
In Quebec City.
Oh, okay.
He'll be the first one. Sarah will be the second one after she gets dropped by Donald Trump.
I know she knows how to use a computer.
But she knows how to wear sequins.
Yeah.
We need something flashy for the hangout. Roger was saying here, the ledge is boring. Mm-hmm. The port from Schoolhouse is much better.
Yeah, interesting.
All right, so since we're at the halfway point, let's do a quick round of what we're drinking tonight. Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
I've moved on to Beerio number 2, and I've gone with the Rogue Chocolate Stout.
Oh.
With real chocolate. In fact, they have their ingredient list of 11 ingredients. The first two, I have no idea what it is. Two Row and C120.
Oh yeah, C120.
That would probably be the yeast, and the Two Row is just your standard quality barley malt instead of Six Row, which is what you see in like fucking Budweiser and Coors and shit like that.
Ah, understood. And it has Pac-Man yeast. So what's good enough for Pac-Man is good enough for me.
Yeah.
Ball player Pac-Man? Or?
No, that's their homegrown. That's their homegrown yeast. They use that in every beer they make.
Yeah. So it's quite chocolatey. So if you like your chocolate stouts, this is definitely a decent one for it.
All right, Keith, what are you drinking? Did we lose Keith?
He looks frozen.
Looks done. All right. Well, Lee, what are you drinking?
I'm still drinking the Boxing Rock Sunken Ledge Porter.
Begrudgingly.
Well, it's not like I hate it or anything. It's just kind of disappointing considering the quality of stuff that comes from Boxing Rock.
Lately, Well, you know, I'm going to say lately Boxing Rock has been doing very middle of the road stuff. Hmm. Other than the Imperial Brown Ale.
I don't know. I like the darkness. I like Crafty Jack.
But that's Generation 1 or like, you know.
I like the Triska Decaphobia that they had as well.
Well, also you have to take into account, Jim, I don't get all these new ones. So, like, you know, I was just lucky that my NSLC was happened to be one that they picked for the Porter, right? But, I've never had their U-51 or whatever the hell it is.
Oh, yeah, U-89. Oh, Jim, we should get one for you there. So, and you know, we should since we're in the city here, we should get something for Lee here. Get him some of that stuff. But other than that one, Lee. Other than that one, anything else that Boxing Rock has been making has been on the side of things. I don't know. I don't know if they're collabs. I can go through a beer list of what they've made afterwards, after U-889 or whatever it is. The Bottle Blonde.
I like the Bottle Blonde, but that was definitely designed for, like, as a sort of a summer beer. Although, strangely enough, I just saw a new batch of it show up on the shelves here for winter, yeah. So I don't know what the fuck's going on there.
Yeah, so, and they've tweaked Vickers Cross a little bit, so it's not the same as it was last year or a few months ago. They've been slowly tweaking it. So I don't know. I don't know what their plan is right now. But
maybe they're expanding a little too quick and doing a little too much.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it's funny, especially since they started out so huge capacity, right? So anyway, I am drinking. I moved on to one that Roger showed off last week, and I was jealous. I got the Sea Level New Moon Farmhouse Ale. 9%. This is an instant can format. So basically, when you're drinking this, nice, yeast, bready, pretty carbonated, moderately dry finish. It's not bad for a farmhouse. I mean, Nova Scotia farmhouse. Compare that to North Bruin farmhouse, which is pretty solid. Does it stand up to some of like the bigger Belgian ones that you get in the small bottles and stuff? No, probably not. But locally, half the price, it's probably a good option there to get. So I'm liking the Sea Level one quite a bit. All right. That's what I think. All right, so since we're talking about snowstorms, we got one coming up probably on Sunday for us here in Halifax. Smoke and Ape down by the Virginia and Maryland border. I have a little bit of snow, but during our last snowstorm...
Oh, look at this asshole, man.
People just are just lazy. So anyway, this car got ticketed. I guess it was a woman driver. Maybe it was a man driver. I can't remember. $180
for maybe she's a snowflake.
Maybe.
But the worst part, I've seen quite a few cars like that a day after the storm just going down the street. So apparently this driver was going to the car wash so they would melt, the rest of it would melt off.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Oh, you're going to pay for the car wash instead of taking 5 minutes to knock the snow off your bloody car? What a bunch of crap.
For like a Mazda 3-2 where you can easily like reach from side to side? No yeah. way.
You can hug that car.
The car wash, yes.
It's a Pontiac. It was a Pontiac or a Sunfire.
Is that Sunfire? I thought it was a Mazda 3.
Or a Mazda 3. I mean, yeah. It's not, like you say, it's not a wide car. You can just, a whiff of your brush
so is clear. A, it's a danger to them because they can't see where they're going. B, it's a danger to everyone else because they're about to play Plinko on the highway. And then it's a danger, to other people because what if that was a big sheet of ice? She's driving down, it flies off, it crashes into another car. Mm-hmm. Stupid.
There's a reason you have windows all the way around your car, so you can get a nice little bit of a 360 view of everything around you. Friggin' dumb as hell, man. Like, she should have got more than a ticket. She should have had, like, a some sort of strike on her license for that, because
and does her windshield wipers not work? Because it looks that's the part that confuses the hell out of me.
So what was it? We're saying she, but I don't think they made it clear here.
I thought I did read in a different article. But regardless of who it was,
like I said, I've seen quite a few cars, and the driver behind the car, behind the wheel, it's on both ends of the spectrum. So we're not gonna.
So let's just say it, because this is obviously a subhuman mongoloid of some sort.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this.
Actually, we can probably share the picture just so people can see what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these brushes, they're not just brushes. On the other end, they generally have like an ice scraper. So, you know, if some of that snow's a little hard, you can actually chip it off your friggin' car before you wipe it all the way off. You know, like it's 5 minutes. If it takes you more than 5 minutes to get it off your car, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe the snow was probably the same as for us when we got it last week, but the snow was nice and fluffy. It was very easily brushable off the car or off whatever, you know, your green bin, your porch. You know, it wasn't a very tough snow last week.
So. No.
It's like going off that little patch on the driver's side of the bloody car with ease.
You know, you think, though, you would... remember that back when cars were a little bit... Their filters, the windshield wasn't quite as good, so when you had the situation, you turn on the defrost in the car, you get snow coming inside the car, remember that?
Yeah. Good times. I used to remember when you have to scrape the inside of your car with a credit card, and you had the flakes of it going all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to this. Weigh the options. A little bit of personal discomfort compared to possible death of yourself and other people. I mean, you know, it's not a hard decision to make, boys and girls. Nope. It really isn't.
All right, so Fibrahali here on the chat here says, the way of the snow would be too much for the wipers to work. True. And agree, a complete moron, buy a $5 brush and takes 6 minutes to clear your freaking car.
Indeed.
Roger was saying, says, Jim, I didn't read the 9% of the farmhouse until the next day. It explained his time travel. Poor nice. Roger woke up all of a sudden in Windsor, 50 kilometers from his house, with only like flip-flops and...
pants unbuttoned, his mouth dripping of blood.
Yeah.
He's wearing assless chaps. I mean, what the heck?
That is... It totally explained it, Roger. Oh, wait a minute, that's another story. hey, we're talking about cars and doofuses and stuff like that. So New Brunswick, our neighboring province, my home province of New Brunswick.
The home of not IKEA.
Of not IKEA or the drive-through province. Anyway, the New Brunswick would like you to bypass the province entirely. They're doing they got rough times. They're in the shitter budget wise. Same thing with Nova Scotia, same thing PI. I mean the deficits and costs, the expense and hospitals and all that stuff. Anyway, they're in a little bit more worse shape than the rest of the country. Anyway, they're trying to find any way to generate revenue, and they are probably going to put in highway tolls. And they got a couple different models. Basically, you can either put them basically on every border point between Maine, Quebec, and Nova Scotia, or digital so that you get paid, you get your invoice or your envelope. You know, get your license plate scanned, and then they'll send it off.
Don't like that.
So some of the rates are just crazy. Because for me, when I need to go to New Brunswick, I usually go to see my folks. So I would need to cross a few tolls. Model one, I would probably need to cross 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tolls, like. $20-something dollars to get through, or cross it once at the border, when I crawl into New Brunswick. But then I can't go into Quebec for a quick day trip, so I would have to get another one. Or they just put tolls at the main hubs, which is Fredericton, St. John, and Moncton, which to me would be a much better idea. But for anybody driving through, it's going to cost you a fair bit of money. Now, I know if you go to places like Vermont, like I remember we were on the 95, we took the exit to Conway, you know, all that stuff. In very short order, we paid like $5 in tolls, or $6, $7 in tolls, very, very quickly. Like every 5 minutes, you had to cross a toll. I don't know if we need to do this in New Brunswick. I don't know.
Quick question. I'm looking at the map here of the proposal, and it's predominantly the Trans-Canada.
Yeah, it would be. They would be tolling the four lane. So
who? The establishment of the Trans-Canada Highway, I know there was a big portion of it that was recently redone within the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, right now the entire...
Paid for that.
No, well, the entire end-to-end is four lane now.
Who paid for that?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because it's been the taxpayer. However, there was a deal back before the government that was going to put a toll outside of Moncton where this little purple one here between Moncton and Sussex... Mm-hmm. They were going to put a toll booth there to pay for this highway. They got voted out. Bernard Lord got in, and then they scrapped the toll, and they needed to make up the difference how this new four-lane highway. So they cut a lot of jobs, dismantled departments, government provincial departments, so that they could pay for this highway.
Well, the question being, like, how much of that was paid for via federal dollars versus provincial dollars? Because that's my concern. Because if it's, even if it's like 30% federal dollars versus provincial, considering it is a Trans-Canada, what rights do they have to actually tax something that is partially federally owned?
I think a lot of it was provincial.
A lot or the whole thing, though?
I don't know for sure, to be quite honest, but...
Sounds like par for the course, though, had the have-not provinces pay for their federal shit. I mean, yeah, it's just more of the dump on the Maritimes sort of mentality.
Well, you think it's going to deter people from visiting Nova Scotia, right? It's like, well, I already got to pay one toll. Like $2, $2.50, whatever it is.
And they're definitely not taking the Yarmouth Ferry, that's for sure.
No. Oh yeah, which by the way, there's still no boat. they haven't found a new ferry yet with the new provider. But anyway, that's another topic. I've been trying to keep the hangout ferry free.
Fairly gosh. Positive, yeah. None of that nonsense.
Well, yeah. That record's gonna be broken shortly.
But I don't know if you add, like, you know, it's $10, $20, whatever. In the grand scheme of things of your trip, if you're coming from Quebec, Ontario, the States, driving through New Brunswick, it's not a big deal. But you're thinking about people locally who drive a huge radius to go to their jobs, you know, people who live in Petacodiac, in Chipman, Minto. They have to use the highways, and then they got to use like a toll to get to work.
That's definitely going to hurt people who have to commute across the province for work or whatever. But with tour stuff, it's probably not going to really hurt much because most people wouldn't notice $10 within their total gas bills anyway for what they're driving. So.
Let's see, Fribahali here on the chat says that actually the four lane in New Brunswick, when it was originally built, it was supposed to be a toll highway, true. The Tory promise was to abolish the tolls to win votes from the Liberals, which they did way back when. I think Mambo number 5 was popular at the time.
let's loosely use the term popular.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next topic. And let's zoom this up here so that people can take a look here. All right, so this is one of Dan's stories. Dan, do you want to give the quick little intro to this one?
Well, like Quebec, and more so, France is historically known for trying every which way to maintain the cultural importance of its language. And it's finding that the keyboard is just not cutting le moustard. Merci beaucoup. And being able to maintain something that's properly used and assist in the typing of French words on the computer. So what's being proposed is a French-specific keyboard modeled after the Dvorak keyboard, for anyone that knows that one. And this is what they want to do to kind of help promote the usage of French language typing on a computer.
Yeah. Now, I'm not against this at all. I'm actually kind of for this because having needed to write in French with an English keyboard is
a terrible
pain in the ass. It is, yes.
Trying to remember which one's your accent keys? It's horrible.
And the biggest problem was trying to find, so you're used to typing on a bilingual keyboard, for example, with the symbols, and then you go to another workplace and it's in English only, and you got to write in French. And it's like, holy crap, is it shift 6? Or is it the shift parentheses to get the CCD and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
So I can I totally feel for it. So they got this keyboard that they're pushing, and here it is on the screen. Let me just show you what the QWERTY or normal keyboard looks like, which is fine. You can see that some of the bilingual stuff is in there, which is
That one's still there's two proposal French ones. So that's the Dvorak style French one, that not the QWERTY,
no,
but
that's
the Azerty. And then the other one is another standard. I forget what it's like, Bopo or Bono
Beepo,
or
yeah,
something. Bipo. And that shows the other standard that they're suggesting,
which is insane. Look at this.
That is a busy keyboard. That's a very busy keyboard.
That being said, they have a key there that's labeled Super. So that's cool in my books. Yeah. I want a super key.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm all for this. I mean, if it makes it easier for French-speaking people in French-speaking countries to type their shit out on a computer, fine.
Now, the one thing I will say, though, I have had the situation where I have to go in and help somebody with their computer or some stuff, and they had a Dvorak keyboard at their workstation. And me sitting, like, you know, Jim, I got a problem. Can you come help me? Yeah, sure. Walk up. And it's like I sit down. Oh, hey, let me type some stuff in so that gets you all set up. And I sit down. And I see this Dvorak. All right, you know what? Why don't you go for a coffee? I'm going to pick with two fingers because I really don't know how to type. My brain is not wired for a Dvorak keyboard at all. I believe it was the Microsoft. It was the curved keyboard, so it was like the, you know, like you basically held it like, you know, like that, instead of like, you know, like this, like that.
For people that are not familiar, there's, when we talk about the Dvorak keyboard, the standard keyboard that we're accustomed to comes from the typewriter days, where they spaced out the keys or aligned the keys according to a certain fashion to kind of slow down typists, because they found that if you had a really good typist and they were just going along, they'd start jamming the heads because they were just going too fast. So they laid out the keyboard in such a fashion to kind of purposely slow down typists, which now that we're in the computer age, there's no need for that. So we have a highly inefficient keyboard with its current layout. So Dvorak decided to come up with a keyboard that's much more efficient, but of course nobody picked it up except that one guy that Jim apparently had to work with for a bit. Mm.
His name was Juste. Hang on.
Did he wear a turtleneck? He sounds like a turtleneck type of guy.
No, he liked opera death metal. He liked Death Wish. which I was like, not into it. Sorry. Anyway, all right, let's move on to the next one, another one of Dan's stories. And
actually, this one's courtesy of my wife. She was quite pleased about this one. So
the source is from CBC, of course. Yeah. So let me play the video as we talk about this. So where was this, in Sweden?
Yep. Swedish man creates giant snow penis to say sorry for destroying smaller snow penis. It's like a Russian egg doll of bigger and bigger penises, apparently.
So somebody drew a penis on a river while it snowed. People didn't like it, so they got the city to clean it up, which you can see here. They're just, trying to brush it out, make it a really fuzzy looking.
How much city money was wasted doing that?
Well, you know what? Somebody didn't like that, so he took out a snowblower, went on the frozen river in Sweden or wherever they're at, and drew out a ginormous outline of a penis.
Good for him.
So now you have a drone here. He's rotating across the city in beautiful winterscape. You see in the river here, nice and pretty. And all of a sudden, as he pans around, there's this...
Now, it could have been a dick butt, which also would have been funny, too.
But there you go. It's like a football field in length penis in the river or whatever, the frozen...
But think of the children who don't have drones and can't actually see
can't
this.
Can't even see this. The children at street level will be like,
Look at his footpath on the lake. Look at this footpath.
I'm pretty sure that's an alien landing strip.
Yeah, crop circles, yeah.
Yeah, two crop circles with the landing strip out in the middle.
That's a Klingon warbird, that's what that is.
That's right, yeah. It's definitely a warbird. Those who like, you can read the article and it's pretty good, but CBC actually interviewed the Swedish gentleman that the purveyor of such art, and it's hilarious an interview because she constantly references the penis as being his penis and then quickly realizing, oh, that's bad. The penis. So, for example, she'll ask, so how big is your penis? The penis. Yeah. So how long did it take you to make your penis? The penis.
Did the interview sound like this? Bork, bork, bork. Bork, yeah. Bork, bork.
Kinda.
So this was indeed in Sweden.
Yes. Actually, right. Bork, bork, bork would make sense when you're doing a giant penis.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, is anybody still talking about the Muppet Show on TV? I don't have cables. So I have no idea.
No, but the entire... There seems to be a couple generations of the culture that think the Muppets are real or something because they just constantly talk about them, how much they love them or fond of them. And I don't get it personally, but whatever.
All right. Well, I'm fond of them, but... Again, that's more of a childhood thing.
It'll be tragic for all these musicians dying. It'll be tragic when Animal finally dies. He must be pushing 69 by now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. If Keith Richards is still kicking around, I think he's got some sort of like Dorian Gray situation with him.
Shit. I'd hate to see that painting. Holy crap.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to a podcast and we were talking about divergent thinking. Actually, you know what? Let's talk about... Let's wrap things up here. We're getting close to the 1 hour threshold here. Let's do a quick plus one or stuff that you've been listening to, watch, you want to recommend. I'm going to recommend the latest episode of Reply All podcast and talked about different thinking. So basically talked about – actually, it's funny how this episode went – talked about diversity in the workplace, how they were talking about the only black engineer at Twitter. But then they went and then they diverged into this line of thinking, the ketchup scientific line of thinking, where if you're from a certain part of the world, ketchup is in the cupboard. If you're in another part of the world, ketchup is in the fridge.
Hmm.
So what happens when ketchup is not in either places? What do you substitute to put on your fries or whatever you use ketchup with? And depending where you are, you would use something else. Vinegar, if it was in the cupboard, or mayonnaise or mustard or whatever, if it was in the fridge. Basically meaning if you have a group of diverse people, you will get diverse points of view, and you may solve a problem faster because of the out-of-the-box thinking, basically. And anyway, really interesting episode. So Reply All podcast, the latest episode is what I would recommend people listening to this week.
Funny enough, you should say that. I listened to that today, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was quite good.
Yeah. Lee, what you got to anything you want to recommend this week?
No, not really. I don't really like seek out new podcasts all that much, as I've already plugged several in previous episodes. So.
Well, is there anything that you watched that you liked this week in terms of movies or TV or read?
No, even then I was too busy to really watch or read anything new. I was just sort of working and sick and shit, so I just, meh.
All right, stuff in queue. I understand. Dan, what you got?
Well, I'll talk about two things then, actually. So one on podcasts. If you want a nice, sort of easy, quick one to listen to, and it comes out every day, or at least every weekday, it's called Question of the Day. And it's two gentlemen. One of them is associated with Freakonomics and Stephen Levy. And I forget who the other one is. But anyway, typically one person asks the other person a question, and they just riff off of that, of saying how they deal with that situation. So as an example, some of the ones that have come up in the past is what makes intelligent people intelligent? What are some habits that have improved your life? What are ways to train your brain to be smarter? And is graduate school a necessary step towards success? So they go over it in a fairly entertaining and logical manner. And again, if you want something that just kind of fill in like about 10 minutes of your day, this is a really good way to actually kind of throw a podcast in. I really like that one. As far as watching goes, I'm sure there's a lot of people that have probably already seen it, but a couple months ago, I personally discovered it for myself, and I can't get enough of it. It's only two seasons worth, and it's called Rick and Morty.
I heard or seen something about that. I haven't actually seen the actual product.
Fantastically funny. First of all, if you are a sci-fi sort of person, this will hit you on every angle from that, because not only do they deal with, like, in an extremely funny way, but really high level sort of scientific situations, and it's incredible what they get away with. So I highly suggest you hit the torrent. Oh, excuse me. Oh, it's in the chest there.
Well, hang on. Lee, what's the tool you use? What's the app?
I use Holo.
Holo. There you go.
And look out for Rick and Morty. There's about 10 episodes per season. It's only two seasons. And it's such a good cartoon. There's a lot of places that already say that this is like the best cartoon on TV right now. As it is, just for its writing and what they do with it. So Rick and Morty, I
saw an episode of that. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Highly recommended.
All right. Well, I just started rewatching the latest season of Archer on Netflix. It's on Netflix Canada. So I was able to watch some of it when it was on the U.S. Netflix, but now I got it Canadian to get reacquainted because I think it's a good show. Hey, for anybody who's still watching live, I got a giveaway.
What?
I know. Maybe I'll do this a little bit more often. Now, I teased... Camera's over here. I teased a little while ago. I tested out some new hat styles, And I have a hat giveaway. So here it is. Now, it probably will appeal only to a few of the of the audience. But we have a Mossy Oak Realtree camo with the Avoiding Chores logo on it. We have the neon pink kind of trim here for those who might want to wear that. So I'm going to give this one out. All you have to do is send me a direct message on Twitter. First one that does that will get it, and I'll send that to you. On another note, not part of the giveaway, but I'll have it out here. This was the other style of hat that I got done, which got a lot of positive feedback. Ironically, is another camo kind of style hat, but the
steampunk.
Steampunk, yes, but really oil and gas industry.
Steampunk.
Steampunk. Let's call it steampunk. Anyway, this has the Avoiding Chores logo on it too. We'll have this on for sale in a little bit. We're gonna get some done, and we'll do an order page and send those out. But if anybody want a camo, free, I'll mail it. Send me a DM on Twitter. First one gets that. All right.
Nice.
I think that was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a good mood tonight.
See what happens? Halifax get an IKEA, Jim becomes like Santa Claus.
Ah, for everybody. All right, well, okay, thank you, panelists tonight, thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for watching. If you're interested in the podcast, this will be up on Saturday. For those who are listening on Saturday, hey, thanks for downloading. Really appreciate it. We'll do this again next Friday. Good meeting, Dan. Good meeting, Lee.
Good meeting, Jim.